This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Lynn Neary in Washington. Tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, for many military families, having a relative serve in the war in Iraq was supposed to be a short-lived hardship. With the U.S. digging in for a long occupation, that's not how it's turned out. Military families share their experiences tomorrow at this hour. Right now, we move our discussion to a few changes on the cable TV landscape.
No, Mother, I can't come see you today. Well, accidental amputations happen all the time. Deal with it. I gotta go now. We'll talk later.
Listen, Andrews, got a big assignment for you. My wife's third cousin, Beulah, is gonna be in town for a couple of days. I want you to take her to dinner tonight and show her a nice time. She's a real pig and pretty rough around the edges, so you two should be perfect together.
Mr. Harrison, I can't take your wife's cousin out.
Great. You pick her up at 8.
That is a scene from Gary the Rat, an animated sitcom in which Kelsey Grammer is the voice of a lawyer who wakes up one morning to discover he has become a 6-foot-tall rat. This is not Kafka. This is Spike TV, otherwise known as the first network for men. And just in case you're a woman who watches TV in Cincinnati or Wichita, don't feel left out. There's something on the horizon for you, too. The America Channel, targeted to the audience loosely described as Middle America. Does this niche programming appeal to you? Give us a call at 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. To help us figure out what all this means and where cable TV just might be headed, we're joined by Brad Adgate of Horizon Media in New York. He's at our New York bureau, and Diane Wirtz, a columnist and reviewer for New York Newsday. She joins us by phone from California. Welcome to both of you.
Hi, Lynn.
Hello, Lynn.
Okay, Brad, a network for men only. Now, whose idea is this?
Well, it's Viacom's idea. Originally, Spike TV had its origins as TNN, the Nashville network. It was owned by Opryland and Gaylord, and Ralph Emery was the franchise show with Nashville. Now it was country music, and you know the America's Channel, which is what you alluded to later. Pretty much was who their core audience was. It was taking a bell curve of the United States, and where their viewers within that bell curve is where their core viewers were. Advertisers really don't pay a premium for reaching those people. They try and attract younger viewers. They try and get men 18 to 34 in particular. They're very light viewers of television. Shock Jock Radio and Maxim Magazine have proven that they can consume media. And so their take is that this type of programming would be appealing to this, and they can make a lot of money, similar to the way South Park worked on Comedy Central and the Osbournes did on MTV.
Before we get any further into the programming, though, I wanted to talk about there was a controversy at the start of this. The network was challenged by the filmmaker Spike Lee. And maybe, Diane, can you bring us up to date on the status of that?
Well, it looks like they're going to go ahead. Spike Lee and Viacom have come to an agreement that will allow them to call it Spike TV. They haven't released the details, but at some point soon, I guess, we'll be seeing that. They were supposed to change over middle of last month, and he got an injunction, which has now been vacated, I guess.
So, now, what was the basis for his challenge?
Well, he felt that he might want to have his own channel at some point called Spike TV, and that they were trading on his name and that their programming was too sleazy for him to have his name be associated with.
But there's a lot of other Spikes out there in the world, I'm sure.
Well, there's Spike Jones, there's right. Spike on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, so yeah, I guess eventually they came around to that conclusion.
Well, Diane, what kind of programming are we likely to see on Spike TV?
Well, so far, there are originals, that animated block that they have on Thursday nights. You had Gary the Rat. There's Gary the Rat, there's Ren and Stimpy, which used to be on Nickelodeon and is now back for adults and is even more of a gross out than it was when it was made for kids. And there's another animated show called Stripperella.
Stripperella.
Pamela Anderson does the voice. She is a superhero who is a stripper by night and a superhero by later at night.
Okay. And the commercials are going to be what, Budweiser? Is that what we're talking about as the sponsors?
One would think. I mean, Brant's right. There's a lot of money to be made in those young guys. They don't watch a lot of TV, and they do spend a lot of money when they're not watching TV. You know, they're out buying beer and going to movies and playing video games and, you know, racing cars and doing all those things. So they want to try to get them on watching TV a little bit more to sell them all the products they use the rest of the time.
Brad, you're a guy. Does America really need a network for men?
Well, they claim they do. You know, there's a lot of male-skewing cable networks out there. ESPN comes to mind, Sci-Fi, the History Channel, MTV certainly has an appeal to young men, BET for African-American young men. This group is very ethnically, or certainly more ethnically diverse. Their claim is that there's no male cable network like there's a female cable network, such as Lifetime or We or SoapNet or programs like that. So whether they can make a go of it or not, I mean, one of the issues, at least from an advertising perspective, is are advertisers going to want to be associated with these types of risque programs that push the envelope, because that can have a severe backlash.
You know, I'm really struck by the difference in the programming between this network, the guys' network, Spike Network, and a network like Lifetime, which is supposed to be for women. Obviously, the guys' network, they're going to try and push the envelope a little bit, whereas Lifetime, it's pretty safe in its programming, wouldn't you say, Diane?
Yes, I would. It's a lot more like conventional network television, which is viewed very heavily by women. It's you know, TV movies, it's reruns of the Golden Girls, it's their original shows tend to be just sort of female driven versions of other shows, a medical show, a cop show. And this is much more sort of well, Stripperella is a good example because it's produced by Stan Lee from Marvel Comics. It's much more like a comic book on television. And of course, what Brad said, it's kind of like the maximization, I guess, of television, where if you just put, you know, top heavy women and sort of gross out stuff and sort of naughtiness on TV, then they think guys are going to buy that. It's a little insulting, I would think, if you're a young guy, but we'll see if it works.
We're talking about Spike TV and other changes coming to cable television. If you'd like to join our discussion, the number is 800-989-8255. Let's take a call from Juliet in Portland, Oregon. Hi, Juliet.
Hi there.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just actually have to be honest, and I don't like television at all for the most part. And when I do flip through, which is rarely, I can't imagine being able to be put in a box in any sort of way that would justify niche programming. I just kind of find the idea ridiculous, to be honest. So, you know, that's about all I have to say, really. Like I said, I'm not a big fan of television, but I think it's almost insulting, like the lady was saying earlier, to try to put someone in a niche idea like that.
It's obviously a marketing strategy, so you find that offensive.
I find it completely offensive. Like I said, just to be completely honest, I don't really like television that much at all. I like to think that other people feel the same way I do, and that they're just kind of appalled by some of the, I mean, because I'm a female, and some of the stuff that I see marketed for females, it is offensive. It's almost, you know, I wouldn't let my kids watch it, that's for sure.
When you watch, what do you watch?
You know, occasionally I'll hook into the Sci-Fi Channel, occasionally history, and, you know, something that's, I don't know, I like to, occasionally something on Discovery Channel, but, I mean, I watch television maybe 6 times a year.
Okay, you're an atypical television watcher then.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, yeah. Okay. I listen to the radio occasionally, but mostly I read.
Great. Thanks for your call, Juliet.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's interesting that even as Juliet was saying that she doesn't like niche television watching, she's actually a niche TV watcher, it sounds like, based on her habits. I mean, she's got some very specific interests.
It's interesting also in that she said she liked Sci-Fi and History and Discovery, which tend to be more male-skewing channels traditionally. I mean, that's why this is so weird. I hardly ever watch Lifetime, and I'm a huge sports fan, so go figure. I mean, people are not always where they're supposed to be, and Spike, I guess, isn't really a niche channel anyway. It's sort of a super niche because their idea is one-stop shopping for guys. You know, they're going to have things that guys could find on Sci-Fi or on Game Show Network or someplace else and try to put it in one place where guys can just tune to that channel and get whatever guy stuff there may be.
Diane Wirtz is a columnist and reviewer for New York Newsday, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'd like to also ask you about this America channel. Brad Adgate, what's that all about?
Well, America Channel is a new startup that's going to be launched second quarter of next year, which would be April, May, June 2004. And the concept is that, you know, the part of the country that everybody flies over from New York to Los Angeles is getting ignored. So, again, it's going to concentrate with programming, a lot of it reality, unscripted shows, lifestyle shows of people who live in middle America, what colleges they go to, road trips, interviews. I mean, it seems to also play into a popular genre, at least on network TV, especially this summer, reality or unscripted shows, which are relatively inexpensive to produce. And they think that unlike a niche where it's a demographic niche, this is a geographic niche, which is a little different. But they think that that's been underserved by being so heavily New York and Los Angeles oriented the way television has been.
Now, are they saying that the shows themselves are not based in the Midwest?
No, I think they'll be based in the Midwest. I think there'll be live interview shows. There'll be people visiting colleges, campuses, and in Middle America. Road trips that take you to Middle America, things of that sort. So I think it'll be shot on location, and those shows are a lot less expensive to produce. You don't have to pay for talent. You don't have to pay for writers. The production costs are lower. So, you know, you're doing a startup and you don't have a big media conglomerate behind you and there's 102 channels in the average American household, you got to do something.
That may be the justification for all of this. Let's take another call from Alan in Battle Creek, Michigan. He's right there in middle America. Hi, Alan.
Hi. 45-year-old white male, skilled laborer. And I've watched about 3 minutes of Gary the Rat and about 2.5 minutes of Stripperella. I wasn't impressed. I usually watch the History Channel, the Discovery group of channels.
Yeah.
Animal Planet and so forth. Weather Channel, CNN. I don't know. Maybe I'm just weird.
So wait, were you offended by the programs?
It was just a little too cheesy and sleazy for. Yeah, it was offensive. it just didn't do it. I'll watch auto racing. I'm not a big sports fan. It's amusing to watch the Tigers lose occasionally. They've been doing it rather well, but
What about this other network, the American Network, which is aimed at middle American, those Americans who live in the middle of the country, not on the coast? Is that something that you'd think you might?
I haven't seen it yet. I don't know as though our cable company is going to carry it. I don't know that we
might. You feel like you might not need that, huh?
We've got public television.
All right.
that does a pretty good job producing regional-type television shows.
All right. Well, thanks so much for your...
Michigan Outdoors, those sort of things.
Great. Thanks for your call, Alan.
Okay, no problem.
Good talking to you. Diane and Brad, what do these changes tell us about the direction that of cable TV?
Well, I think they're trying to just find new niches. You know, sort of the easy ones have been plumbed at this point. You've got sports, you've got news, you've got the Outdoor Life Channel, you've got Lifetime. You know, people are really reaching a little bit further at this point. America Channel actually is, as Brad said, kind of a return to what TNN was at a certain point, where they were sort of for the down-home sort of folks, and they discovered they couldn't make as much money doing that as maybe trying to get, you know, a 27-year-old beer-drinking guy in Chicago. So they changed. But there's definitely an audience for it. Whether there's money for it is maybe a question Brad can answer.
Brad?
Is there money for it? Right off the bat, they're going to need a lot of seed money, I think, because the way channels are set up now, the business models change. Where if a startup cable network wants to get on a cable system, they're going to have to pay the Comcasts or the Time Warners or the Cablevisions to get on. Whereas before, some of the more established branded networks like ESPN, they actually get paid by the cable systems and so that model's changed a little bit, and that's going to try and help them get on subscriber bases or subscriber counts, and hopefully measured by Nielsen. I don't think it's going to be a younger skewing audience by any stretch of the imagination, and I think it's going to be hard getting on. And what happens with a lot of these cable networks is they're stuck on channel 150. and who's going to find it and who's going to look for it. I mean, cable networks generally would like to be next to a broadcast affiliate or an HBO, and there you can get a huge spike in your ratings, no pun intended.
Right. Well, thanks to both of you for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
Sure. Thanks.
Reviewer and columnist Diane Wirtz works for New York Newsday. Brad Adgate is Senior Vice President and Director of Research at Horizon Media. In Washington, I'm Lynn Neary, NPR News.